He says, he goes on, he says that I bring in the tithes, and he gave more than the law required, and he tithed on everything. And he says, I thank God that you've made me such a great fella. Have you ever known anybody like that? They're a legend in their own eyes. The Pharisee approaches God with his own righteousness. He approaches God with his own works, his own good deeds. He believes that God will accept him because of his great righteousness. And sadly, he looked down on others who were not as righteous as he was.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. This morning, Brother Mark preached out of the book of Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14 in his sermon titled, The High and the Humble. And now, Brother Mark.
Today's message is called The High and the Humble. The High and the Humble, and it comes to us from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. I'd like to bring to your attention that this week represents the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. It's the week that Martin Luther went and pinned his thesis to the door of the Wittenberg Church. His proposition sparked a debate that eventually gave us five key Reformation doctrines. These doctrines are very important, and they're referred to in their Latin names. The first one is sola scriptura, which is scripture alone. The next one is solo Christus, which is Christ alone. The next one is solo gratia, which is grace alone. The next one is solo fide, which is faith alone. And the last one is solo Deo gloria, which is glory to God alone. Today, we'd like to look at grace alone. Luke 18, 9 through 14, would you stand with me as we read God's word? Beginning in verse 9, he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector or a publican. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for this message and your word, this parable. Lord, your word is full of these stories, and these stories are earthly stories with heavenly meanings. Lord, help us to glean the meaning from the story that you told here in Luke's gospel, that we might see your truth, and that we might not only see it and hear it and take it in our hearts and place it there, but Lord, that we might live it out. All these things I pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. While Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, where he would soon be crucified, he was teaching many important truths, and you can follow along in Luke 17 and 18. It's just parable, 16 parable after parable after parable. And as he was going through Samaria and Galilee, he happened upon a place where there were a lot of Pharisees gathered together, and he stopped there and he told them this story. And Jesus had just taught his disciples to pray in the parable before this with the parable of what I call the nagging woman. You remember the story. She just kept on nagging the king for justice. And finally, the king was fed up with her nagging, so he gave her what she wanted. And they And the message in that story is that's how we ought to pray, that we pray through. We continue praying until we get the word from God. And that word may be no, that word may be yes, that word may be wait. Whatever the word is, you pray until you till God gives you what you're asking for. And so now we come to this parable where he's talking to the Pharisees, those righteous, pious ones who tend to look down their nose at other people because of their condition or who they are or what they did for a living. And so we see here that there are two men that's talked about. One is a Pharisee, and Jesus said in verse 10a that two men went up to pray, and one was a Pharisee. And in Jesus' day, the temple consisted of a sanctuary as well as outer courts. And people went to the temple to offer sacrifices and to listen to teaching and to fellowship and to pray. And so it was normal for a Pharisee to be seen in the temple during that day. It's not clear whether he went there during regular hours or hours of prayer, but it did not matter. People expected to see a Pharisee in the temple. This is where you would tend to see them, and they were considered to be pious and very religious people. We see the other person that Jesus talks about is a tax collector. And tax collectors were hired by the Roman government to collect taxes, and these tax collectors were corrupt and considered the lowest of all low people in society. They were hated among all, and they were despised and rejected, and people just looked down upon tax collectors. They was considered scum of the earth. So when Jesus said that the other man who went to pray was a tax collector, his audience would have been a bit puzzled at this, because you don't see tax collectors in the temple praying. That's just not a place where you expect to see a tax collector. But there he was, the tax collector, and that was very unusual. Why would a non-religious tax collector go into the temple to pray? Surely God had no regard for this kind of a person. We see two different prayers that's offered up. The Pharisee's prayer in 18:11 through 12. We see his posture in 18:11a, and Jesus said in 11a, the Pharisee standing by himself prayed thus. Well, the Pharisee was probably standing as close as he could get to the Holy of Holies when he prayed. And he come into that place and he lifted up his hands and he prayed. And the Bible says he prayed to himself. What does that mean? He prayed to himself. He did not pray to God. He prayed to himself that others might hear him pray. He prayed in a way that was flowery and beautiful and acceptable in that day. And there he was standing by the Holy of Holies, and that was his posture. And listen to his petition in 18:11b through 12. The Pharisee opened his prayer by addressing God. However, a close examination of the Greek text says, suggests that he was talking to himself. And in the New King James Version, it says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He had no other audience than himself. The translation would be accurate and better presents what was going on. The Pharisee was outwardly addressing God, but was inwardly just talking to himself. It's important to note that the Pharisee does not confess his sins to God. Verse 11b says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I thank you that I'm not like other men. And then he went on to describe the other kinds of men that he was talking about. Extortioners, unjust men, adulterers, and even men like this tax collector standing back here in the back. The Pharisee compared himself with other people. But note that he did not compare himself with the Word of God, nor did he compare himself with God's perfect standard, Jesus Christ. Instead, he compared himself with this list of other people. I was reading something yesterday, and it said, do not judge people by the sins that you don't commit. That's kind of deep, isn't it? Don't judge other people by sins that you don't commit. The Pharisee then commended his good works. In verse 12, he says, I fast twice a week. Well, they was only required to fast once a year. So he's going above and beyond. He's saying, Lord, I fast twice a week. He says, that I bring in the tithes, and he gave more than the law required, and he tithed on everything. And he says, I thank God that you've made me such a great fella. Have you ever known anybody like that? They're a legend in their own eyes. The Pharisee approaches God with his own righteousness. He approaches God with his own works, his own good deeds. He believes that God will accept him because of his great righteousness. And sadly, he looked down on others who were not as righteous as he was. Then we see the tax collector's prayer in 18:13. Notice the tax collector's posture. But the tax collector standing afar off. He wasn't standing as close as he could get to the Holy of Holies. He barely made it in the door of the church, and he stood there in contempt. He would not even lift up his eyes towards heaven, but he beat his chest. The tax collector must have been somewhere off in the temple complex. He was standing afar off. He knew God's special presence in the temple, and he desperately wanted to connect with God, but yet he stood far away. Like the Pharisee, he was standing, but he did not lift up his hands towards heaven, nor did he lift up his eyes towards heaven, but he looked down. He was ashamed of his sin, and he stood there with downcast eyes. Moreover, in accusation and near despair, he beat his breast. His guilt of his sin was overwhelming. Listen to his petition. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He also addressed God in his prayer, but he did not compare himself to other people, did he? He did not ask for justice. Instead, he begged for mercy. The tax collector in Jesus' parables singles himself out from all other people, but in an entirely different way than the Pharisee. He singles himself out as a sinner because the Greek text actually reads, God be merciful to me, the sinner. He accepts his own sin. He says, God, I've missed the mark, and I'm sorry for that. Please have mercy on me. Romans 3:10 through 12 says, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have all become worthless, and no one does good, not even one. Romans 3:23 says, all of us have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. You see, that puts us all in the same place, amen? The world is a mess, and therefore all of us are a mess, and the church can only be a place of messes. We should quit trying to make the church what it was never meant to be, a place where only the righteous of righteous can come to worship God. The church house should be a place where messy people can come into a messy place and present their messy lives to God before a messy bunch of church folks who've been forgiven for their messes. Amen? That's what the church is. The only way a person is saved is by the unmerited grace of God. It's nothing that you can earn. You can bring an offering every Sunday. You could bring two offerings every Sunday. You could bring an offering on Sunday and Wednesday, but that won't get you to heaven. You can come into the church every time the church doors are open, but that won't get you to heaven. No, you could have righteous parents that was very godly, but they can't get you to heaven. No, there's nothing that you can do on your own that can get you there. Other than coming in before a holy God and saying, God, I'm a sinner. And I want to confess my sin to you. I pray that you'll have mercy on me. And I ask you to remove my sins from me. And I want to live for you. I want to say, as Miley did, Jesus is Lord. And when they pray that prayer, whoever would pray that prayer, Jesus would come into their heart and save them. And when Jesus comes into your heart and saves you, he's going to ask you to do something for him. He's going to ask you to do what Miley did, and that's make a public profession of faith. He's going to ask you to do that first step. And that first step is to confess Jesus as Lord before people. And he says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. The only way the person is saved is by that unmerited grace of God. Like the tax collector, every sinner must cry for God's mercy so that they may be saved by the grace of God alone, just like Martin Luther said, grace alone. Two results. The tax collector is received and exalted by God. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. The word justified is a legal word. It means declared not guilty. Jesus pronounced the tax collector not guilty. Why was he not guilty? Because he asked for forgiveness of his sins. He claimed his sins before God. And he said, God, I'm a sinner, and I want you to forgive me of my sins. Have mercy on me. And he beat his chest. God transferred the penalty of his sin to the sin bearer, Jesus Christ, the propitiation for our sin. And Jesus paid the tax collector's penalty. And he paid that on the cross of Calvary with his body and his blood. And so God's justice was satisfied, and he was able to extend grace to the tax collector. All his sins were blotted out. All his transgressions were removed as far as the east is from the west, it says in Psalms 103:12. They was cast into the depths of the sea, it says in Micah 7:19. And he was adopted into the family of God to be a child forever. Let's look at the Pharisee. Jesus said in 14b, Jesus said the tax collector went home justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Pharisee goes home, but all he goes home with is an inflated ego. He might as well have stayed home that day or never even gone to the temple. In fact, it may have been better if he hadn't have went into the temple with that posture and that petition. In conclusion, as Phyllis comes to play and Lori comes to lead us, Jesus taught that good works or works of righteousness do not gain a single person acceptance with God, no matter how religious the person is. The only way a person can gain acceptance with God is by God's mercy and grace. Acceptance with God is gained by acknowledging sin and trusting God's provision for payment in the sin of the from the person to the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. God's grace alone saves sinner. Listen to these words from Rock of Ages. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look for thee, to thee for grace. Vile, I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Let's stand and pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word where you say that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever confesses with the mouth and believes with the heart that God raised you from the dead will be saved. For you so loved the world that you gave Jesus, your only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, all through the scripture, you talk about Jesus, and he is our Redeemer. You talk about Jesus and he paid our sin debt. You talk about Jesus and he is the propitiation for our sins. And Lord, there's no other way to heaven. And Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And he says, if anyone hears my voice and comes to me, I will come in and sup with them and them with me. And Jesus is waiting. He's waiting to hear from you this morning. Maybe you've never made that commitment to God. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus. Maybe you've never come in and said, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I want you to forgive me of my sins, and I want you to come into my heart and live with me forever and take me to heaven someday. I believe that you're God's Son, and I believe that you rose from the grave. And if you say them words this morning, Jesus will come into your heart and he will save you. And you will live forever with him in a place called heaven. And today is the day of salvation. For nobody knows who holds tomorrow but God. And therefore, if Satan's telling you you have plenty of time, don't listen to that. Listen to what God says. And God says, today is the day of salvation. If you've never made that decision, I pray that today would be the day that you would step out and humble yourself like the tax collector and walk down this aisle and say, I would like to give my heart and life to Jesus. I would like to ask him to come in. Or maybe you've already done that, but you've never made it public, and today you would like to just come and say, I'd like to make a public profession and tell the people here that I have asked Jesus in my heart. Maybe you're not a member of this church, but you would like to join. We would accept people to join at this time. Whatever God is speaking to your heart at this time, I pray that you'd make a decision for him, that you would not wait. And we'll give God all the praise and glory and honor. Everyone here will be for you. We'll stand with you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do, and we'll just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.